You heard it right, Blue Jays fans. This is an exclusive Blue Jays podcast. We are the MLB Point Form crew. I am Alex Krakow. Sitting adjacent for me is John Krasiotis.
Looking forward to this one.
Oof. Man, we got a lot on our plates. That was the Sportsnet Blue Jays opening theme. Hopefully we don't get sued for that. First off, we're going to go through a big list. We're going to start off with Alex Anthopoulos and what the hell he's doing sitting on his ass. Colby Rasmus. Sorry for my outburst. Colby Rasmus. See if he has a good year or not. Then maybe they'll sign him to an extension. Blah, blah, blah. Marcus Stroman. How long until he comes up? Sanchez. A bunch of other prospects that we got coming up. Anthony Gose. What the hell we're doing with him. Probably just a Rajay Davis role. Their second base situation. We'll talk about Ryan Goins. And their starting rotation. And what they could look like. If they sign any of them. Stick around. We're going to get our thoughts straight. And welcome to the Blue Jays edition of MLB Point Form.
Let's play ball. Okay. It's a beautiful evening, fans, at the ballpark, the game starts, warm summer breezes, sun's going down, it's all dark, at the ballpark, that's okay, it's a night game.
That was the OK Blue Jays, which is quite possibly the stupidest song to ever play at any major. Like, oh my God.
It annoys me every time.
It's so embarrassing.
It annoys me, but it's nostalgia a little bit because it's the winter now. I hate it so much. It has so many memories.
Every time I go to the Rogers Center, in the seventh inning, they play. I'm like, ugh. Currently rubbing my thumb and forefinger between the bridge of my nose. Like, ugh.
And everyone gets so excited. All the kids are up. Even some
of the kids are up. Some
olds.
Of the drunk 40-year-olds. They're like, yeah, Blue Jay.
Oh my God.
But anyway, this is not, this was not our original topic. Our original topic is, what the hell are you doing, Anthopoulos?
Getting a little heavy over there.
The hell are you doing? He's just, I don't know. I mean, I see where he's coming from. He doesn't want to spend unnecessary money because the Blue Jays aren't obligated to sign anything over 5 years. But this team has a lot of ifs right now. If Jose Reyes is healthy, Brett Lurie's healthy, Morrow's healthy, if Redmond can be a legitimate fifth starter, if Drew Hutchison can actually pitch, if Ryan, like I know Ryan Goins is a starting second baseman, but can he hit? It's daring to say that Anthopoulos should try again. Because some of his moves last season didn't work out the way he wanted it to. I'm looking at you, Josh Johnson.
Bonifacio,
I'm looking at you. I'm looking at R.A. Dickey for the first half of the season. Mark Burley, bless your heart.
Yeah, and Jose Reyes was good when he was healthy. But let's start with the 5-year contract.
Well, yeah.
Okay.
Go ahead.
There's always that. I think it was in 92, 93, the Blue Jays have always had some kind of club. Thing where they like to limit the amount of years they give on a contract. So in 92, 93, I think it was 3 years was the most they would give. And, they were fine then, obviously. And now it's kind of grown, obviously, to 5 years because the contract lengths are getting longer. But, when he says 5 years, he's even mentioned that, for the right player, we'd go past 5 years. I think if Mike Trout is a free agent, he's not going to say, we'll give you 5 years. I think he's, it has to be the right player. I didn't see any players this year in free agency that I would have given more than 5 years to, other than maybe Robinson Cano, but that was insanely expensive. But if you look at the 5-year thing, he likes to say that, and I think it's just some kind of tactic he likes to use, but I don't actually think that's a concrete thing. It's just a line he likes to use. When he's looking at a free agent, it's not like, oh, it's 5 years now, we can't sign him. It also has to do with the amount of money. Like, he's not going to turn down a six-year, $80 million contract over a five-year, $80 million contract. It all has to do with the player. I'm sure, you know, Mike Trout was a free agent, they'd offer him 8 years right now. But I don't know. A lot of people seem kind of to blame the five-year contract on everything they've done this offseason. I mean, I don't see what the five-year contract limit has stopped them from doing this offseason so far. Cano and Tanaka, that's it. But that was about the money more than the years. There's nothing, you know, other than those two.
Why is there this stigma around the MLB that free agents need more than 5 years? They need these massive contracts. They need the 8-year contract. They need the $100 million signing. They need the shiny new Corvette in their driveway. Like, I don't get it. Well, that's why does it have to be more than 5 years?
Well, it doesn't have to be more than 5 years. And a lot of guys, you know, they've obviously earned the right to go to free agency. And I completely agree. I wouldn't give, you know, when most guys get to free agency, they're 29, 30, 31. And especially if they're a pitcher, you sign them to a 7-year contract. You're signing a pitcher to, you know, from age 30 to 37. Like, I agree with not giving pitchers more than 5 years, but the one thing it does do, if it's really a hard baseline kind of 5 years, that's it, which I don't think it is, it takes them out of the running for the top free agents, like the Cano and the Tanaka. But I don't think they would have a shot for those guys anyways, because they're not the Yankees, the Dodgers. So the 5-year contract thing, it doesn't really bother me, because it's not like the guys remaining are asking for more than 5 years, or the guys that I've wanted at the beginning of free agents were asking for more than 5 years anyways. So I don't think it's really affected them that much this offseason.
He being Alex Anthopoulos, was in a press conference a couple of days ago, or was it yesterday? And here's just an excerpt from what he said. We don't have the audio clip of it, so I'm just going to read it. He goes, quote, "From a free agent standpoint, some of the remaining free agents that are out there, we have been given a price and we just don't necessarily see the value right now. We're going to continue to have dialogue. We're certainly not done yet. Hopefully we'll be able to add a little bit more, but at the same time, we're not going to force anything." He goes on to say that some of these players that have draft pick compensation attached to them, it would not surprise me to see them go into February and even March, which is what you were saying earlier. Yep. And, I agree with him, and I was listening to a talk show, and this is when I texted you yesterday, that he just doesn't see the value in Santana and Jimenez mainly, and I was a little confused, but like, because I was, how can you not see the value in these guys? But it turns out it was a little more monetary than skill wise, and how he doesn't really see Jimenez being $80 million better than Hutchinson, as you were saying.
Well, yeah, I said that yesterday. I said, you know, in the, when he talks about value, he talks about, you know, not necessarily how much he makes per year, but more of the total contract. And, you know, maybe he's thinking, or maybe Jimenez or Santana are offering or asking for $80 million right now. And he's thinking, or eight, whatever it is, I'm guessing $80 million. And he's thinking, you know, we could sign this guy on the spot right now for $80 million over however many years, but is, you know, I'm going to pay $80 million to Jimenez to put him in the rotation for the next 4 or 5 years. Is $80 million worth Jimenez versus Hutchinson in the rotation over 5 years? Is it that much of a, is $80 million a value to have, you know, one certain pitcher over another one they have already that's cheaper? So, you know, how many more, you got to think, he's probably thinking, how many more wins are we going to have over the next, not just this year, but 2 or 3 years, having Jimenez in the rotation versus Stroman and Hutchinson and stuff like that. And he's probably thinking $80 million isn't worth it. Maybe his price is $60 right now. And that's value. But
either way, hopefully we won't be sitting ducks for the rest of the offseason. I can see us making a move, and we'll get into it later, but a second base position, Steven Jeter, blah, blah, blah. I don't think I have much left to say on this, except that I still like Alex Anthopoulos. He's doing a great job with what he's doing.
Yeah, and you know what? You mentioned the two pitchers and even Drew. I think they'll get one of the two. I think they're the favorites really right now to get one of those two top guys. Yeah. I mean, they're both linked to draft pick compensation, so that scares a lot of teams. And the Jays finished with the 9th overall pick, and if you're inside the top 10, you don't have to give up a first-round pick. So they don't really have any, you know, they if they sign one of those guys, they have to give up a second rounder. And if, let's say, Baltimore signs one of those guys, they have to give up a first rounder. So the Jays are kind of one of those teams that, you know, they're not linked to draft pick compensation, so that's not a concern for them. And so I actually think they will end up with one of those two pitchers because of the draft pick thing, and it scares some teams off. It just all depends on, you know, maybe one team says, you know, screw it, we'll give up the first round pick and jump on one of these guys quickly. But I don't think it's going to be quick that one of these or any of these two guys will sign. I think it might drag out longer. But so we have to just have to be patient.
Maybe they have a chance this season. I still like them. I like the Jays, even if they don't sign either of these pitchers, even if they don't sign Steve and Drew. But we'll talk about their starting rotation at the end of the show. Next, center fielder Colby Rasmus, 1 year, $7 million off of arbitration. Well, to avoid arbitration, I should say. They're gonna let him play. They're gonna let him do his thing, and evaluate how much they want to re-sign him. If they do want to re-sign him, if they want to trade, if he has a good season, I can see them maybe trading him away if he has a good season, because then he'll bring in more value. Because we have another center fielder in Anthony Gose. Although the power numbers, not only the power numbers, just the hitting in general is just not there with Anthony Gose. But I really like Colby Rasmus. I like the way he plays. He's the strong, silent type, I can tell.
Mm-hmm.
The outfield will be missing something without him, I think. But again, we gotta let him play.
Yeah. This was obviously his last year of arbitration. They went through arbitration last year with him, and they have no more club control after this year. And you saw, they did that with Edwin Encarnacion a couple years ago, where they, you know, they signed him to, you know, whatever the 1 year deal is, and then they wait until the All-Star break to sign him. So, you know, they're trying. I think what they're trying to do, I don't think they're going to sign him to extension this offseason. They'll wait until the All-Star break if they do sign. They're trying to see if, you know, 2013 Colby Rasmus was really Colby Rasmus, or is he more of what he was in 2011, 2012? And they don't want to invest so much money in a guy that they don't really know what he is yet. So they're going to try to see what he is before they sign him. And if he's good, they'll try to sign him at the All-Star break. If he's not, you know, we'll see. But you can't leave out the possibility that they might even trade him before the season starts. Like, there's even rumors that, you know, Cincinnati needs a center fielder now, and Homer Bailey has 1 year left, like the same kind of contract as Colby Rasmus, and they might swap, you know, for a pitcher and play Ghost. But I don't know. I really do like Colby Rasmus, but there's a chance he might not even start the season with the Jays. I think that there's a good chance he will. But his dad is actually on Twitter, and he's actually pretty active on Twitter. He says he likes Colby Rasmus, has never had as much fun as he did last year. He loves John Gibbons. He loves the city. So he, being a Toronto Blue Jays isn't a problem. It's going to be, you know, if he's good next year, are they going to pay him? And if he's actually good next year, I hope he is. You know, he's an elite defensive center fielder, hits for power, gets on base, good base runner. But, you know, he's a very valuable player. But, you know, we have to find out, is he really 2013 Colby Rasmus, or is he 2011, 2012 Colby Rasmus? And that's what Alex Anthopoulos is waiting for right now.
I think they'll give him the money. I think they'll...
if he's good, I think they'll give... I think,
yeah,
for sure.
I think he'll either be 4 or 5 years. Probably 5.
I think... I don't know if he's... I don't think he's 30 yet. I don't think he'll be 30 until, you know, a couple...
I don't think he's 30 until 3 years from now. I think he's 27.
28, 29, or something like that. I'm not really 100% sure. But it'll be interesting. Like, we've seen that there's been a couple center fielders in free agency the last couple of years, whether it's been Michael Bourne or...
He's 27.
Or it's B.J. Upton. They've gotten big contracts. Like, B.J. Upton was, I think, 5 years, $75 million, and he's not even good anymore. So, you know, there's always the risk that if Colby Rasmus comes out and plays even better than he did last year, or even last year's kind of pace, that, you know, maybe he'll think, well, there's no more center fielders in free agency next year. I could get paid big time, you know, over $80 million, and maybe that's too much for the Jays. So there's a risk not signing him in the offseason, but there's also a risk if you do sign him and he's not good, right? So it's kind of an interesting thing. They could either trade him before the season starts. I don't think they'll sign him doing extension before the season starts, but that's an option. Or they could sign him. I think what they'll do is they'll sign him at the All-Star break, because I do think he's a good player.
We're going to take a break. Coming up next, Marcus Stroman, Anthony Gose, Ryan Goins, Edwin Encarnacion, Adam Lind, and the starting rotation. We hope you're enjoying. Stick around.
Edwin Encarnacion.
We hope you enjoyed that song as much as we did. That was some generous YouTuber made an Edwin Encarnacion remix.
I love it.
Well, I almost pissed myself laughing.
I did.
What?
I did.
That's concerning. Anyway, our next topic is an up-and-coming phenom who's currently in AA, I think. Did he spend last year in AA? Marcus Stroman.
Yep.
With the New Hampshire Fisher Cats. Oof. Probably going to start the year in AAA. Maybe he'll come up to the majors. I love this guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Short and sweet.
Well, I think we're going to talk about the top three pitching prospects they have that are closest to making an impact for the Jays. Stroman, Sean Nolan, and then Aaron Sanchez. But to start off with Stroman, yeah, I love Marcus Stroman. He was only ranked 55th on the MLB 2014 top 100 prospects.
At least he's in the top 100.
But, you know, there's concerns, obviously, about his height. He's, you know, they list him as 5'9", but he's shorter than that. He's even said I think he's 5'7 and a half.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, but
What does he, sorry to interrupt you, what does he throw?
He
like
has
his fastball.
He has a hard fastball, gets up to 95. I think it averages out 93.
It's got a lot of heat in that little body.
Yeah, his slider is outstanding. I've watched a couple of his Arizona Fall League appearances. I think it was in October. His slider just makes people look stupid. Like, it's major league ready. It's a plus pitch now. He started the year working on a changeup. I hadn't seen much of it until the Fall League. I was watching a couple of his appearances. The changeup is absolutely nasty. Like, that's a major league pitch now. And then because he's short, he doesn't get a lot of life on the fastball. He doesn't get a lot of downward plane. So he added a cutter, and the cutter has kind of added some life to, you know, throw off batters every once in a while. But, you know, he's shorter, and there's some concern if he can last as a starting pitcher because of the height of the fastball, because there hasn't been a lot of short pitchers like him in a rotation. But his stuff is so good. Like, his fastball's plus, his slider's plus, his changeup is major league average, and I'm sure there's room to improve. And then he throws in the cutter every once in a while. You know, I don't know if he's ready now. I think you could throw him in the bullpen now and he'd be ready. But I think, you know, he'll start the year in AAA. And speaking of AAA, that rotation's going to be really good for Buffalo. But he'll start the year in AAA, and I'm sure he'll dominate. And first injury, he'll get called up, I think. And he could play a role like Sonny Gray did last year.
How long do you think he's going to spend in AAA before he's up?
I think it all has to do with who they sign and how many injuries they get. So let's say let's just take a guess and say they sign Santana. So they'll have, you know, the four guys, Burley, Dickey, Morrow, Santana. And then I'm sure, you know, the fifth spot will go between Happ, Hutchinson, and Redman. And then, you know, once Stroman starts to pitch, and if he pitches as well as I think he's going to pitch, you know, Morrow's going to get injured at some point this year.
Yeah, that's
there's going to be pitching injuries, and I think he's going to get called up. You know, I think I'll guess June. He'll be called up, and as soon as he's called up, I think he's going to stick. So I think he's going to make an impact on the Jays this year. He's pretty important. I think if they're going to make the playoffs, he has to make an impact.
I think if, again, like you said, it all depends who they sign. But if they're fifth man in the rotation, i.e. Hutchison, Dre Beck for God knows what reason, Todd Redman, J.A. Happ,
Esmiel Rogers.
Yeah. Esmiel Rogers, if they don't perform, then I could see Stroman coming up. But at the same time, I think that if that is the case, then Stroman might start in the bullpen. Unless someone gets injured. I'm looking at you, Brandon Morrow. I mean, they might as well just clear him like they might as well just fill in his spot on the 60-day DL. Because God knows he's going to tear his shoulder. He's gonna like hyperextend his knee. He's going to get a hangnail.
Well,
like,
if he has a season, speaking of Brandon Morrow right now, if he has a season like he did in 2012 where he throws 120 innings of sub-3 ERA ball and he's back before the playoffs starts, and then you just fill those 80 innings, 90 innings with Marcus Stroman, I think that's very solid. And then speaking of, you know, two other prospects I mentioned earlier, Sean Nolan is also going to be in AAA. You know, I mean, he doesn't have a huge upside, but he looks like a solid left-handed pitcher that he could. They have a lot more depth this year than they did last year. He could come up with injury, and then the big name is Aaron Sanchez. He was, I think, 22nd or 23rd in the top 100 prospects. He'll start, I think, in Double A, but he's never been above Single A. His ceiling is so high; he could be an ace, but he could also never make it a Triple A. Like he has problems walking guys, and how he throws was kind of messed up this year. So he needs to work on his mechanics. But his upside, he throws hard, everything like that. He has nasty stuff. But, you know, he's a guy that's going to be out there. Every team is going to be asking for him and Stroman and Nolan in trades if they, you know, want to trade for somebody. But the one guy I think I wouldn't mind moving would be Sanchez because he has so much value. And they have two top draft picks this year, 9-11. And they can replace, you know, the pitching depth in the minors with those two picks.
So it won't be as bad of a downfall as handing the Mets Noah Syndergaard.
Yeah.
Because that was awful. I mean, I love R.A. Dickey. He didn't show much the first half of the season. But what did you say that Syndergaard was on the prospects list? Wasn't it like 6 or
11.
Something?
Syndergaard's
still,
11.
Still, that's incredible.
But the thing is with the Jays, they want to compete now.
Right.
And Syndergaard isn't ready now.
No, he's not. Stroman is.
But, you know, I mentioned Sanchez. I think, you know, maybe if everything goes well, he could, you know, warrant an appearance in September.
Talk to me about the second base situation.
It's interesting. I mean, Ryan Goins came up last year, and then last offseason they signed Maisir Asturias to be their second baseman.
Oh, God.
And he was horrible last year. We'll see.
Is horrible. Was horrible.
I think the guy with the high. I think apparently Maisir Asturias came in out of shape last year. And I think the guy with the highest upside of anybody that can play second base, so I'm looking at Goins, Asturias, and Kawasaki. I think the highest upside is Asturias because he's actually shown that he can hit 270 and play solid defense, but I'm not relying on that. And so you look at second base right now, and Ryan Goins came up last year, and he started off hot. He was hitting, but he kind of slowed down. He hit, you know, in the mid-200s with an on-base under 300 and no power, really. But he's just so good defensively that it kind of warrants looking at him at spring training.
I think they'd be willing to make that trade-off. I mean, like, if you look at Jose Reyes, he will easily hit you 260, 270.
More
easily.
Than that, 300 even.
That's at the least.
Yeah.
Brett Laurie will consistently hit 250, maybe 300.
Edwin at
first. So I think that John Gibbons would be willing to make that trade-off. Defensive prowess for offense. I mean, he's not gonna hit 250. He'll hit 200.
I mean, he's gonna hit. He has a track record in the minors of hitting 250. You know, it's not like he's gonna come to the majors and go, I'm gonna hit 300 now. So, I don't think they're necessarily content right now with him at second base. I mean,
no, yeah, you have to look for more, right?
I'm Alex Anthopoulos, there's guys on the trade market, you know, Howie Kendrick. I'm sure the Angels are still looking for pitching, mm-hmm. but you'd probably have to give up, you know, a Sanchez or something like that. Are you willing to pay that? Or maybe even, you know, look into free agency, and if Drew can't find anywhere to play, maybe sign him 1 year to play, you know, a platoon or second base, and then, you know, maybe DH Reyes sometimes, put Drew in at shortstop, but... You know, that's another option. I think they should be really going after Drew.
I think he'd be willing to switch from shortstop to second base, or at least try it.
But I think if he signs, I think it's going to be a one-year deal to kind of reestablish his value. But I don't know if he's going to want to play. Like, I've heard a lot of the Mets don't have a shortstop, and maybe they want to sign him. But if there's no suitors for him, because he's also linked to draft pick compensation, and the Jays don't really have to give up much to sign a free agent, and there's no suitors, I'm definitely, if I'm Alex Anthopoulos, I'm going to Drew, you know, just sign 1 year, we'll play at second base, or starting second baseman, that'd be huge. You know, if they end up with, you know, I'm okay with their roster right now. I think they can win, you know, they could sneak in a wild card spot with the roster. But if they want a challenge for the division, and I'm Alex Anthopoulos, I'm aggressively going after Jimenez, or and then aggressively try and trade for a second baseman or acquire Drew, because I don't think Goins is upside. Although he was the best second baseman I think I've seen since Orlando Hudson play for the Jays, his offensive upside is not high at all.
I would love to see Kawasaki at second base.
Yeah. But
I mean, he can hit you 225, 230.
But I don't
at,
want
like, the
that.
8-9 spot at the lineup. But I would rather take a 200 hitter, but Goins defense.
I think Goins isn't going to hit. I think Goins, if he's a starting second baseman, hit 240 and play outstanding defense. But
I'd take that any day of the week.
But 240 isn't good. You know, if you can end up with Drew and he'll hit, but also he has no power. It's not just 240. It's an empty 240 because he has no power. If you can get Drew...
Drew will hit 300.
He'll hit, you know, 270 with a high on base, and he'll hit you 15 home runs with solid defense, or if you're looking at Howie Kendrick. But I think if you're trying to contend for a division, you go after a pitcher in free agency, and then you aggressively go after a second baseman. Like, out of all the contenders in the American League, second base for the Blue Jays is the, you know, the worst position out of any of the contenders' positions. Like, second base is horrible for the Blue Jays right now. I think they really do need to go after a second baseman unless they believe in Ryan Goins.
Where do you see them finishing in the AL East? I see them third with 90 wins.
90 wins is high, though. I mean, I could see Rays. I think the Rays are winning the division.
Yeah,
I don't think
hands down.
Well, the Red Sox didn't win the World Series last year, but they had a lot of ifs that turned into even higher than people thought they would. And I think they'll regress a little bit, but I still think they're the second-best team right now. And then the Yankees and the Blue Jays are kind of in the same boat. I think the Jays are a little bit better than them, but you can't forget about Baltimore. I mean, their offense is really good. What if Machado can come back?
They're sneaky. Yeah. Baltimore's sneaky every year. Blame Buck Showalter.
If you want to contend for a wild card spot, I think you can do it with this team right now. But if you really want to win the division, you want to challenge Tampa, you want to challenge Boston, you know, go ahead of the Yankees somewhere, you sign a pitcher, you trade for a pitcher, whatever, and then you get another second baseman. Because, you know, this team is good right now. I like this team. I don't think they can win 90 games. I think they're, you know, an 85-win team right now. But they have upside. You know, what if Stroman is really good? Like, this team, this Jays team...
Like I said earlier, a lot of ifs.
But it kind of reminds me of last year's Boston Red Sox. They had so many ifs in the rotation with Lester, Buchholz, Lackey, everything like that. And then they signed Victorino. And who's playing shortstop for them? Can Drew stay healthy? You know, all their ifs, you know, turned out good. What if all the ifs for the Blue Jays can turn out, you know, good? You never know. What if, you know, Edwin can stay healthy the whole season? What if Goins does hit, you know, 260? Reyes can stay healthy. Lurie takes another step. You know, what if, you know, guys like Hutchinson and Stroman take a step? You never know with this team. But I think right now, if they enter the season, my guess would be around 85 wins. So they think they need to add some more.
This is going to be an interesting year.
It is going to be interesting. It's kind of funny. If we did a podcast a year ago and then listened to this podcast, it'd be completely different. You know, a year ago, I thought 100 wins for this team, easy. Now this year, it's like 85
World
wins.
World Series. World Series.
But I don't know. There's less
take
pressure on this.
Take it to Vegas, Agnes.
We'll see. We'll see. It'll be. I think they'll be fun to watch, though.
Last topic on our Jays only edition of MLB Point Form: the starting rotation. We're not going to go in depth and analyze every pitcher. I'm just going to give my top five. I think Dickey's going to stay number one, although he's not really a number one caliber pitcher.
We'll see. I think he's going to be good this year.
Burley number two, Morrow number three. This is just if they don't sign anyone, I can see Happ being a number four to rotate right left. Hutchinson or Stroman, I can see Stroman coming up if they don't sign anyone.
Yep.
But here's the big question: before you give me your top five, where's Ricky Romero in all this?
He's done. I don't believe in Ricky.
You think
Romero
so too,
anymore.
Eh?
He's done. You just put him out in AAA.
I think he's going to be in AAA for the rest of his career.
Yeah. And then you let him ride out the contract and then he's done. I don't think there's any... I remember watching him last year and I was at a game he pitched. And it's like every time he gets an out, he gets a standing ovation because people kind of feel bad for him.
Poor guy.
But it's
I do feel bad for him.
I feel horrible for him.
He was an ace not 3 years ago.
Sub 3 ERA. He was a really, really good pitcher. And now it's just, I remember watching him. He doesn't have movement on his fastball. He doesn't know where it's going. He doesn't even have control of it. His curveball looks dead compared to what it was before. He doesn't know where the pitches are going. He walks too many guys. And then when he throws strikes, he throws it down the middle and he gets crushed. So he doesn't have the stuff anymore. It's not that it's just his head, you know, messing with him and he can't throw strikes. It's he doesn't have the stuff. Something happened. You know, his pitches have digressed. And it's sad to see, but, you know, I think he's done, honestly. Like, I'm done with Romero.
Maybe I should burn my Romero t-shirt.
If some team offers the Jays nothing to take the Romero contract, I give it to them. But no team.
Here's a couple of bats. We'll take them.
That might have more value than Romero right now.
Oh, my goodness. I feel bad for Ribbit on the guy, but...
But, you know, speaking of top five...
Give me your top five.
With the... Let's say they don't sign anybody. Yeah. My top five would be, you know, Dickey, Morrow, Burley. And then that's the top three. Like, those are the top three guys right now. We know we're going to be in the rotation. And then you look at those last two spots. You got Happ, Hutchinson, Esmiel Rogers, Todd Redmond, Stroman kind of battling for those spots. And I think right now, if the season starts now, my top five would be Dickey, Morrow, Burley, Todd Redmond, and Drew Hutchinson. You know, if they sign somebody, I'm totally fine with Todd Redmond being the fifth starter and Hutchinson getting more work in AAA, but it's not ideal. I think if Hutchinson starts the year in the majors, I think they should give him more work in AAA along with Stroman, but he might be forced to be the fifth starter, and that's not horrible. He was a top prospect, and he pitched well before as Tommy John, so we'll see what he can do. But I'm looking at their rotation, and they need another pitcher. They need to go sign somebody. They need to trade for somebody because even though they have depth, if they want to contend for division, you need more than just, you know, five fifth starters to for the last two spots, I think.
Couldn't agree more.
We'll see. You know, there's still lots of offseason to go. There's still some pitchers even mentioning, you know, we've mentioned Jimenez and Santana. There's still, you know, some other pitchers out there like...
what about Bronson Arroyo? Where's he?
I was about to mention that.
Where's he in this conversation? He's great.
But he gives up a lot of home runs also. He could be a guy that, you know, if you just want a 4.5 ERA or a 4 ERA fifth starter, 200 innings, he's your guy. But I think they need more upside in the rotation. Because they have a lot of guys that can go two innings with a 4.5 ERA. So,
anyways, again, we thank you for listening.
Might do a couple more of these, I think, before the season starts.
Yeah, we'll do a few more.
We're going to continue with our general podcast, so obviously.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we'll add a couple of these. And then every couple of weeks, we'll just add on another one of these. My humble co-host across from me is venturing down to Dunedin, Florida to watch the Blue Jays spring training. I have their schedule in my hand. First game, February 27th,
just
Thursday,
over a month.
Against the Philadelphia Phillies. Which is my cousin's team.
I'll be, like
I said last time, my cousin, Philadelphia Phillies second baseman Pete Orr from Richmond Hill, Ontario, will be joining us in studio for an interview next time we record before he ships off for spring training. And Johnny's going to give us some live coverage.
It's my third year in a row now I've gone to spring training, and I'll be down there, I think... March 22nd to the 30th, something like that. I'm going to see the Phillies and the Yankees two games. We might add another game. We're not 100% sure yet. But, you know, it's a lot of fun if you've never been to spring training and you're looking for a vacation spot. I highly recommend it. It's a really relaxed atmosphere. It's really cool to see, you know, the stadium's so close to the players and they interact with the fans and everything. And it's nice weather. It's just great to watch. Baseball in Florida.
Maybe I'll come down.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. You know, I'm sure I'll provide some coverage.
Not locker room coverage.
Maybe I'll sneak in.
Anyway, we thank you so much for staying with us and listening to our voices for about... How long are we? How long has it been running? 35 minutes? Yeah. Anyway, check out our Twitter if you want at MLB.Forum. We appreciate any followers. Generally, we follow back unless you're boring. No, we won't. We won't. But do it anyway because it gives us some help. We don't know what kind of help, but we'll figure that out in a couple months or so. Once we actually get off the ground with this thing, check out our Facebook, MLB.Forum. You can find our personal Twitters on our website, MLB.Forum.com or .weebly.com. We're, like we said last time, we're currently in negotiations with a professional web developer to get us an actual site that doesn't involve cheesy pages. Anyway, for John Crassiota sitting across from me, I am Alex Crocco, and we are MLB Point Forum. Thanks for listening. Enjoy some outro music.